This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published monthly by the Masonic Service Association of North America since 1923.
This is Brother David Kahns of United Lodge No. 8, Brunswick, Maine, presenting to you Volume 53, No. 9, September 1975. Freemasonry and the Future. This short talk is an address given in Spartan Lodge No. 70, Spartanburg, South Carolina, on January 17, 1975, by illustrious Brother Emil Poehler, 33rd degree, Grand Commander, Managing Editor of the New Age, official publication of the Supreme Council, 33rd degree, Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction, USA. We are grateful to Brother Poehler for his gracious permission to publish his address in this form. When we look around us, or even just switch on television for the regular evening newscast, we find enough division, defeat, and disaster to discourage any man. We tend to fall back on our knowledge of the Bible and remember that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Overwhelmed by the passing problems of the contemporary world, who even wants to read history, much less look at the future? Life becomes a day-to-day struggle just to stay above the swirling tides of change. Though chaos threatens, we prefer to turn our eyes away, and whether it is the task at hand whose deadline was yesterday or the last-minute report required by the end of the working day. Yet the future is already upon us, and we cannot stop its inevitable coming any more than we can delay the seasons of the year or alter by a fraction the orbits of the heavenly bodies. We cannot ignore tomorrow. We must think ahead, prudently plan for the future, and be prepared for next week, month, year, decade, century. A wise man once said, "We should all be concerned about the future, because we will have to spend the rest of our lives there. Not only we, my brethren, but our children, grandchildren, and their children will have to look forward to the future, anticipate it, and learn to live in the tomorrows of tomorrow." More than 300 years ago, the great bard, Shakespeare, pessimistically said in Macbeth, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in the petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time." Our tomorrows, accelerated by the rampant progress of modern technology, however, no longer creep. Instead, they rush past us and carry us forward, whether we want it or not, into a future that must be radically different from the past we once knew and the present we know now. Soon a larger portion of our food will come from the ocean. The seas will be farmed as the land is now in order to provide food for the Earth's burgeoning population. Nuclear fusion and the harnessing of the sun's phenomenon will be necessary to supplement our diminishing reserves of fossil fuels like oil and gas. Even man himself may be engineered genetically, as has already begun with the recent first steps towards test tube babies. There is also a new science of cloning, in which individual cells of an organism can be made to reproduce the whole organism, rather like a chameleon reproducing its tail. In the case of cloning, however, it is the tail that would reproduce the chameleon. Applied to human beings, cloning would mean that a desirable trait or even a whole being could be reproduced endlessly. Entire races of physical and intellectual supermen have been envisioned by even conservative geneticists. Then, of course, there is always the ultimate physical challenge of outer space. In time, man will inhabit other worlds, possibly meet other creatures, and learn to live in harmony with them. Confronted with these amazing and inevitable prospects for the future, we must not allow everyday complexities to blur our perspective. We must become, in the truest sense of the word, seers, that is, seers, those who see. We must sharpen our vision and seek those concepts that will provide clear, firm guides for our future. Whether or not technology is advancing too swiftly, leaving man behind as it explores the farthest horizons of life, whether in fact it is becoming an uncontrollable giant that, like Frankenstein, will turn on us eventually, these considerations are beside the point. Science and technology, barring a universal holocaust, cannot stop. That we cut back our research will not make other countries cut back theirs. Rampant technology advance is a simple fact of life that we cannot and in fact do not wish to hamper. Science has been a boon to man and the basic comfort of our everyday American life proves. Instead of fearing and confining technology, we must learn to cope. A recent Broadway play had the title, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, but there is no stopping the world, we must learn to cope. What then will be our guides as Freemasons confronted with this brave new world? A world we will see and in which our children and grandchildren hopefully will prosper. Where do we look for truth? For light? Certainly, if we are true Masons and have studied the wisdom and history of our noble craft, the answer is obvious. Since its inception in the dim annals of antiquity, through its sustenance in the Middle Ages, to its flourishing in the 19th century, and up to its worldwide expansion in modern times, Freemasonry has offered an eternal, unchanging guide. The truths of the fraternity have served men well across four millennia and more. Is Freemasonry going to fail now? I doubt it. In a period of change nearly as traumatic as ours today, witness how Freemasonry brought order and hope and real accomplishment. During the American Revolution, years of national and international turmoil, the ideal of Freemasonry nurtured such founding fathers as Franklin, Revere, and Washington. The principles of the craft were tested then, and they were not found wanting. From these men who held fast to the truths of Freemasonry came a message that still rings like a clarion across the world. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freemasonry served our nation well in 1776, and it has continued to guide America throughout our history. Today, too, it is a touchstone of truth for those men who seek its wisdom. We have no reason to doubt that Freemasonry will meet the challenge of the future. Its light remains bright and will always continue to be steady and clear. What we can fear, however, is our own ability to remain touchbearers of Masonry. We are the dubious factor. If we are capable of the task, the future is secure. We have only to learn from the past, know the core of Masonic doctrine today, and carry that message to tomorrow's generations by the example of our own good conduct and high accomplishment. We can achieve this goal through following the most basic principle of the craft, know thyself. We must use the light of Freemasonry to illuminate our own minds and souls. In this quest for self-knowledge, as in so many other fields of life, the key is education. In this case, self-education, via Masonry's ritual, symbology, and dogma. Only when we know ourselves can we truly know others and bring to them the understanding and insight necessary for real brotherhood. The lodge is the school in this sense. The craft's wisdom is the text, and we are the students and teachers. An earlier brother attended just such a school and was similarly both self-taught and instructed by his fraternal brethren. In his autobiography, Benjamin Franklin has left for us a record of his self-education. In this great American life story, he tells in detail of his daily routine, begun with a prayer, as he called to God, powerful goodness. He also tells of a project of arriving at moral perfection. Franklin kept a daily chart on which he noted 13 virtues, ranging from temperance and order to tranquility and humility. At the end of each day, he noticed the specific times he had violated one or more of the virtues. Gradually, he was able to diminish or eliminate each fault. Note that his last and most important virtue was humility. Under that heading, he recorded in his own hand the sage advice that we all would do well to follow. Imitate Jesus and Socrates. Are these not the noblest of models? Is not humility the first and most essential step toward self-improvement? Guided by Freemasonry, Franklin recognized this basic truth. If we are to approach the future with any hope of success, we too must do so in the spirit of humility. This virtue lies at the heart of Freemasonry, and it makes possible the development of all other Masonic principles: truth, justice, freedom. Humility teaches responsibility and dedication. It leads the sincere brother to realize that the truest role of the Freemason is to be of service to God, country, and mankind. This, then, is the role of the Freemason in the future. It is the same role we have had in the past. It is our role today, for Freemasonry does not change. The truths it teaches are eternal. What must be revived from day to day, year to year, and generation to generation is the dedication to follow the lessons of the craft. Our future as individuals and as a nation is secure if we always keep this fact close to our hearts and before our minds. The future undoubtedly will challenge our spirit. The best of us will be taxed severely. Our glory and the heritage we will bequeath to our children will be how we acted, how we followed the ideals of Freemasonry and inspired others to do likewise. The perils of the future, from nuclear fusion and genetic engineering to the exploration of other planets, are, in fact, not so much perils as challenges which we as Freemasons can meet and conquer so long as we hold fast to that unchanging guide, Freemasonry. Then we can look to America's tomorrow, as did President John F. Kennedy in an address at Amherst College. He said, "I look forward to a great future for America, a future in which our country will match its military strength with our moral restraint, its wealth with our wisdom, and its power with our purpose."
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, brought to you by the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of supporting the worthy goals of disaster relief campaigns, hospital visitation, and the spread of Masonic information and knowledge. If you agree with supporting these worthy goals, please donate. And thank you.